we distribute the little booklets concerning Advent wreath. We do this every year. And we certainly do encourage everyone, with or without children, to observe the Advent wreath custom. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, it is difficult indeed, and at the same time extremely easy indeed, to preach after today's gospel. Today's gospel, obviously, and it is placed at the end of the liturgical year. Today is the last day of our, last Sunday of our year. Next Sunday is the beginning of the new liturgical year, with the first Sunday of Advent. That's when we begin all over again. But today is the last of our year. And the church, on this occasion, as you would expect, really, has placed before us the necessity for examination of conscience. To describe the end times, I'm not going to do that today. Heaven knows. This description is going on constantly. And everybody and his uncle and aunt and cousin and grandchild is involved in describing the end times and prophesying that it is here, it is now, it is this, it is that, be prepared, run to the mountains, everything. You hear this every day, every day, every day, every day. And any time there is a nickel's worth of change in the weather conditions, see, I told you, this is the end of the world, it's on the way. We have meteors in the sky. Oh, yes. You know, we've never had meteors before. It's as if. It hasn't rained. It hasn't done this. It hasn't done. I agree that the weather conditions are ridiculous and they have changed. I agree to this. They've changed at other times before. This does not necessarily mean that this is where he is. If you're on the rooftop, get off of there immediately. Run to the mountains. Run to the hills. Get out of the way. Go hide yourself. But you know, even in so doing, we sometimes fail to see the unbelievable silliness of some of our preparations. You know, some of us who run to the hills are ready to run to the hills, rather, to rough it, as it were, to be able to live in the hills. We bring half the supermarket and half of the department store with us to make sure that we have all of the comforts of life as we go to the hills. We're not ready for that kind of living. None of us. How can you snatch somebody who has been living on the silks and satins of modern day life to go out into the hills and rough it? What's the biggest joke that we can speak of? My dear people, it is not in the getting ready of running to the hills that we have to think about. It is the getting ready of something that we are constantly bringing to your attention. And that's the getting ready of the inner self, which is something that we keep somehow or other putting off and putting off. Something that we take rather lightly and say, well, now, you know, God is good, just a little longer. You know, like St. Augustine, who knew he had to get better. But not yet, Lord. I'm not quite ready. Just don't be in too big a hurry to make me good. Do we realize what being good means? It means no evil. And any sin against, or any sin of pride, of selfishness, of self-centeredness, of disobedience, or any such like, is evil. And these are the things that we have to prepare ourselves with. What good does it do for us to flee to the mountains as we bring the department store with us? What good does it do for us to flee to the mountains if we bring along with us in our provisions our own pride, our own self-will, our own disobedience, our own anything else? What good does it do if those provisions are in our knapsack? What good does that do? Are we not really making a farce of the whole thing? Does it not really mean that we don't believe and that we're taking matters into our own hands and that we place interpretation and we decide who to believe, who says, here he is or there he is? The very opening words of today's gospel are really frightening. The very opening words, let him who reads understand. That's a threat. That's a real threat. Are we big enough to understand that? Now today, in our own dilemma that all of us are having to undergo, we have a certain amount of force placed upon us about this circumstance and that circumstance and the other circumstance. And we may have falsely come to the conclusion that here we are who are trying to observe the true Catholic tradition, which thank God is the way it is supposed to be. But have we possibly come to the conclusion, as so many have, that all we have to do, I'm sorry if I'm hoarse, that all we have to do is to take our gift, whatever it is, the gift of that little grain of wheat that we plant, that gift, if we take that gift and put it on the altar of tradition, that all goes well. That is not so. And in too many of these cases, those who speak of the tradition, too many of these cases, are perhaps second generation, maybe even third generation Catholics, or even Johnny come lately Catholics who do not know the Roman Catholic traditional experience. They simply don't know it. But they bring it with them and say, this is the way it is. That's the way. They got this from picture books. Or they got the information from other Catholics who do not know the Roman Catholic, or do not possess the Roman Catholic traditional experience. We forgot. Just recently, I had occasion to be amongst people that I've known for years and years and years and years, who were really good practicing Catholics, and perhaps as long as you confine it to just that definition of good practicing Catholic, practicing, you could probably still say that of them. But listening to them and looking at them and rubbing shoulders with them, you see very quickly that they're not Catholic, they are not Protestant, they are not atheist, they're just nothing. Nothing. I feel sure that you have been with such people too. What has happened to our Catholic faith? What has happened to our sons and daughters? To our brothers and sisters? To our husbands and wives? To our friends and neighbors? What has happened? And we say that it is all good and that we live positively. We're not negatively minded people. What could be more negative than for one to have lost his faith? What could be more negative? We should be on our knees every day, thanking God that he has touched us with the germ, with the grace of our faith. But we must use this faith as God intends us to use it. And we must not insist that this faith be carried out according to the personal preferences that we, in our lack of Catholic experience, would like to see it done. This goes for priests too. I'm certainly not making a case for somebody who's all gray-headed and who is looking at his 80 years. But only the ones who are looking at the 80 years are the ones who knew, who know what it was. And they're going fast. And when those are gone, your second generation, your third generation, your fourth generation, your fifth generation is gone with the wind. And Christ would know what he's saying when he said, when I come back, will I find any faith on the face of the earth? as we arrive at Advent, which starts next Sunday, that we should try to take some of these Catholic customs that we are presenting to you from time to time and to keep them in the religious context of the thing. And let us not take the worldly operations that are going on, the frenzy, the worldly frenzy of this moment before Christmas, to try to fight this frenzy with things that are simply unwise. And to take, for example, the great central feast of Christmas as we are preparing ourselves for. What is the Advent wreath for? What is the grain of wheat for? What is this for? What is that for? Take it in context of religion. And only if we do this, then will the feast of Christmas fall into its proper context, and that we will not find it necessary to have to move it to some other time. Further confusing our little third and fourth generation children and our out of context customs, out of religious context customs, are inevitable, or will inevitably wilt as our children grow older. Because, if I may say so, because sooner or later, these children are going to have to meet face to face with the central figure of this moment, which is Santa Claus. Santa Claus himself has to have a religious symbol. Not too long ago, to show you how anything can be abused, in a local Catholic church of which I was pastor once upon a time, Christmas Eve, the little children were asked to come to the 5:30 Mass on Christmas Eve. Children's Mass, to get the little children out of the way. When Mass was over, there was a basket someplace along the communion rail. Had the little Christmas goodies in it, you know, Christmas candies. The pastor steps down from the altar and takes hands full of candy, just like they do at Mardi Gras in New Orleans, from off the floats, and starts flinging little candies to the children in church. And you know, children, pandemonium immediately in church. But that's not all. When he finally decided it was time to calm the children down, he said, "Now, children, calm down, because someone extremely important is going to come in the door and visit you. Someone of great importance is going to come in the door to see you and to speak to you." Isn't that lovely? When the children heard, oh. Was that the fault of Santa Claus? Or was that the fault, and this is on tape, of the stupid pastor who did it? these. We must not punish the thing. We must punish the ones who are making the thing bad. You know, we've said it, I'm not going to just make reference to it, the Saturnalia. The church has always taken all the Santa Clauses of all the ages and done what with them? Took Santa Claus and put a religious cloak around them. But they didn't throw Santa Claus out. And our children will not be confused. They will understand. And they will put religious symbolism around everything. I've got to quit because last Sunday I talked too long, and I'm not going to be guilty of that again this morning because I'll hear about it all week. We will talk more about this as Advent approaches Christmas. God bless you, but you know what I'm trying to say. We've got to get busy. We've got to get in earnest. And we have to do what we know we're supposed to. It's pray for the grace that we are men and women enough to be able to pick up an insignificant grain of wheat and put it in the flower pot. That takes courage.